games on the schedule?
No!
That doesn't stop us from talking football. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Here are your hosts, past WFCA President Tom Swiddle and WSSP High School Insider Big Time Mike McGiver.
Oh, welcome back to the WFCA show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGiver alongside Doug Sarver, sitting in for Tom Swiddle this week. Doug is the president-elect of the WFCA. He's also the chairman of the All-Star Game, head football coach at St. Francis. Before we get to Travis, how impressive was Dare?
Oh, he's awesome.
Oh, man.
I kind of expected it, and I heard a little, a little lot about him.
Graduated economics, so if he doesn't play at the next level, or if he only plays there for a couple years, he's set.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Coach Maz just at Marquette raves about him, and I can see why. His parents have to be proud.
Yeah, our athletic trainer at St. Francis is a former Marquette athletic trainer, and he had nothing but good things to say about him.
Boy, and you look at the path that he took to get to where he is today, and it's like a different path than anybody I've ever talked to. You know, he didn't play football till his junior year in high school, really, and then he only played defensive back and special teams, and then they move him to the other side of the ball and say, you're going to be a running back, and he figures it out, and you heard him, watched a lot of tape. Watched a lot of film, probably with Coach Settle, to ask him every question that he had, and then he rushes for 94 yards the first time he becomes a running back.
Had some great mentors ahead of him, and Melvin and Monty and Corey.
James White, all those guys. So no doubt. We're now joined by Travis Wilson with Sports.net. Haven't talked to him for a bit. Travis, happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you guys, too.
How's the family? Everybody's okay?
Everybody's good. Yep. It's springtime, so my 8-year-old's playing baseball. I'm coaching him in that, and fun time of the year.
Man, don't let those parents yell at you, Travis.
I try not to. I've coached most of the kids already, so pretty good group.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, the combine coming up in 2 weeks, Sussex Hamilton, and we're going to be doing the show live out there. Hopefully, I'm sure we'll be on for 2 hours this time. We had some technical difficulties last year, but man, the combine has really blown up a lot of kids from all over the state of Wisconsin.
Absolutely. You know, it's something that I know Doug and the WFCA have talked about for a long time. There used to be an event, I think at Camp Randall, that used to be done. And, a few years ago when Tony Biolo was kind of spearheading the effort to get it going again, we didn't quite know, where it would go, how it would go, et cetera. The first year over at Arrowhead, we had like 120 kids, and it's really exploded from there, and it's really become one of the best events in the entire country in terms of combines, a real unique opportunity for kids in that the college coaches from Division III to Division I FCS, the old 1AA, can actually be there to watch them. A lot of these camps and combines that are out there, they're put on by private groups, and the college coaches can't be there, and the kids think it's a big deal to get an invite to XYZ combine and whatever, but what is it really benefiting them? Because, again, the people that need to watch them, the people that they want to try to get in front of, aren't there, and that can be done at the WFCA combine. Last year we had over 60 college coaches there, including 10 D1 FCS coaches. We don't require coaches to pre-register, but we're expecting 60 to 70 at least again this year. Lots of D1 guys will be there and really shaping up to be a great event. We keep breaking records every year in terms of how many kids sign up. We went from 115 that first year to 340. Last year we had 515. This year we had to shut down registration 2 months before the combine because we already had well over 500 kids signed up. If we left it open all the way up until the combine, we probably have 700 or 800 kids there. So it's just an incredible event that's really grown and become a marquee event on the high school football schedule.
Travis, obviously the drawing card for that is the college coaches that are at the combine and kind of just walk around from drill to drill and watch certain players. What college coaches do you think are going to be there from the D1 level this year?
Well, I think it'll be a lot of the guys that are there in the past years. North Dakota State will be there. Nick Gaser will be there. Tim Polasek was there for a long time, but he's, of course, moved on to Iowa. Spence Nowinski from Illinois State will be there. I talked to him already. I expect the other Dakota schools, South Dakota State, South Dakota, North Dakota, they'll be there. Danny Freund, our good buddy, will be there. Western Illinois usually sends somebody, Northern Iowa. So a lot of those guys that have been there in the past. And, the neat thing about it is not only are they there, they're offering kids out of that combine. Even that first year when we only had 100 kids there, I remember Damaris Purifoy from Wauwatosa West put on a good show. And within a week, he was offered by North Dakota State, I think it was. And every year, the college coaches get a chance to see these kids in person, to talk to them a little bit, to see them move, and you see scholarship offers extended out of it. So that's the real neat thing, too, is you see actual, benefits for the kids coming out of it.
Travis, we're talking to Travis Wilson from Wisports.net. These coaches get plenty of tape being sent to them. And there's one thing to watch a kid on tape. There's another thing to see him with your own eyes and to be able to watch him as he moves, how his legs, his hips, all the things that these guys are looking for in person, to be able to come in and see up to 500 kids. I'm sure that they have a list of 10, 15 that they want to look at, but you never know who's going to jump off the field at them. Where that all of a sudden, instead of 10 or 15, now they're looking at 20 kids from this area. And I think to be able to, for these guys to be able to come in one morning, the morning, to be able to see 500 kids from the state of Wisconsin and eyeball those kids, for the things that they want to see them, what a great day for those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what they want to do. They want to see the kids in person. How they bend, can they turn a corner, can they move? Also, what's their body type like? You see a kid on film and he's got pads on and everything else, but to see him in person, if he's a defensive line prospect that weighs 220 pounds right now, can he handle 270 pounds? Or is he an offensive line prospect at 250? Does it look like he has a frame that can handle 300? So getting to see the kids in person is such a huge benefit to them, and they say that every year, how unique of an opportunity it is. And, of course, we're talking a lot about the D1 coaches, but let's not forget there are a ton of D2 and D3 coaches there as well. Probably every WIAC school will be there. Most of the private schools in Wisconsin will be there. Almost every D2 school in Minnesota will be there as well. So it's really a great opportunity for them also. It's very early in the process for them. They're still kind of waiting for the D1 kids to filter out and see who's going to end up at the D2 level. But a great opportunity to see kids and then also just kind of fly the flag. Get your brand, your logo, your school out in front of all these kids. And to do it in front of 550 to 600 kids, really not too many opportunities to do that.
Travis, I know you have your top 25 and top 50 Wisconsin to-be seniors. Could you just mention some of those and some of the kids to watch at the Combine?
Absolutely, and this is another part of the Combine that's really blown up over the years is some of the top-level kids, a lot of the top-level kids end up coming to the Combine. I think last year there was 18 or 20 of my top 50 juniors at the time that ended up at the Combine, and this year it's 24 of my top 50 juniors that are going to be at the Combine. Now, some of the top-level guys, the ones that are already committed to a Wisconsin or a D1 school, a lot of times they won't come just because there's not a ton of recruiting benefit for them. I still think it's a great opportunity for them to compete, and would love to see them there. But this year, if we look at some of the rankings that I have, Trevor Shahoney, offensive lineman from Franklin, I have him ranked 8th in the state. He's going to be at the Combine. He's got a D1 offer already. Andrew Lyons, another offensive lineman from Kenosha, Bradford, Ryan Posley from Green Bay Preble. Doug, your kid that I know you really like a lot and you think's going to end up with some D1 offers. RJ Clark, offensive lineman, defensive lineman from St. Francis. A lot of guys in the area. Peter McCudden, who we know very well from Waukesha West. And, of course, his dad, Tony, will be running around giving everybody a hard time. Some good quarterbacks going to be there as well. A pretty decent quarterback group this year. Alec Ogden from Monona Grove, who led them to the championship game in Division II. Nate Carter from Wanakee, a kid that's getting some interest from Iowa and Michigan State. So just a good group of kids this year, and I think some kids that'll kind of emerge from that combine, and even some kids already that were just outside my top 50 that are getting D1 interest or even have D1 offers already that'll be there.
If you want more information on this WFCA website, I can go through the combine times real quick. You get the big boys coming right out of the jump. Registration 8 o'clock, warm up 8:45. Their testing goes at 9 o'clock, and then linebackers at 9:45 when they register, 10:30 where they test. Running backs are 11:15. They go at noon. The wide receivers and defensive backs, they register at 12:45. They test at 1:30, and then the quarterbacks and tight ends. You always let those pretty boys wait till the end. They get to sleep in or what?
Yeah, they get to sleep in, and then also we do have a little bit of a passing event that we do afterwards. Jeff Trick usually comes in and runs the quarterbacks through some drills, and the receivers stick around and do it too. So we put them at the end, so then they can kind of wrap that up at the end. We may actually make some adjustments on some of these times just based on the sheer number of kids that we have coming.
Sure.
Just to balance things out. And of course, we'll provide that information to all the attendees and everybody if we do. But that's the tentative schedule now. It's always a great day, a long day for all of us that are there all day. But it's an incredible opportunity and a great event. Like I said, it's really kind of become that marquee event for the WFCA.
Hey, Travis, if people want to just come out and watch, can they do that? Is it open to the public?
Yes, there is a limited amount of space that we have for spectators. Now, usually that's just going to be parents or maybe a high school coach or something like that. But, we do open it up. One thing that the WFCA does not allow is solicitation. So, the 7-on-7 teams and the private trainers and the recruiting services and whoever else might be looking to, sell or get in front of the kids and their parents, we don't allow that at the Combine. But if you just want to come and watch and see some great kids and everything like that, yeah, stop on by to Sussex Hamilton and find a spot along the sideline.
Yeah, Travis, we also need volunteers from the WFCA membership. So if there are members listening today and you'd like to volunteer morning, afternoon, all day, we do need members. Get a hold of Tony Biolo, our president.
Yep, absolutely. And an email went out to all head coaches earlier this week, letting them know that we need some volunteers. And we get great help from the guys at Sussex Hamilton, John D'Amato and his crew always help out. And, coaches come from all over the state to help out. And as big as it's gotten, we just need a little bit more help.
Hey, Travis, can we get to a break? Can we hold you over for one more segment?
Yep, absolutely.
Beautiful. He's Travis Wilson with Sports.net. Doug Sarver sitting in this week for Tom Swiddle, who is up in Michigan, long way away, hanging out with his son, which is great. And he certainly will be back in 2 weeks for that combine, that's for sure. We're going to be doing our show live there. It's at, again, it's over at Sussex Hamilton 2 weeks from today. And we'll do my youth show and then the high school show. I told Tom not to worry about booking any guests. We'll just grab guys off the there'll be enough coaches.
You'll have
there.
Plenty.
If nothing else, I'll grab Travis for a couple of segments. We'll talk eight-year-old baseball for two segments.
Probably able to get a couple kids, too.
You bet. Sure, we'll ask Travis what kind of baseball coach he is. That's awesome. Let's get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue our conversation. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the WFCA show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Doug Sarver, president-elect of the WFCA, head football coach at St. Francis. We're also joined by Travis Wilson from WISSports.net. Go to WISSports.net. If you've heard me say this a million times, nobody does it better than those guys for high school sports. It is a must-go-to. I'm sure that, Doug, you're on that website as much as I am.
Yes, sir. Travis does a great job on that website.
Yes,
anytime
he does.
We need something on, he gets it on for us right away.
Well, these guys are the best. Him, Mark Miller, those guys up there. Hey, Travis, we had Wade Lebecki on a little bit earlier, and we talked about some of the rule changes and the blindside hit, and he talked about the kickoff rule that's being changed. Any feeling on some of the changes that we're going to see this year?
anytime you have changes, there's pushback, obviously. And a lot of it's from, a lot of time it's just from, you know, coaches not understanding what it's actually changing or why or whatever. You know, the blindside block, I can understand why that would be controversial. I mean, that's, you know, it's one of those things where if you're going to block a guy or hit a guy and he's not looking at you, you know, the thought kind of is, well, that's his problem, that's his fault. But at the same time, I can understand from a safety perspective why it's coming into play. Because if you look at where injuries occur, that blindside hit a lot of times is one of the main points of injury, whether it's a concussion, whether it's a guy getting wiped out and, you know, buckling his knee or landing on his hip or whatever it is. It's just a very dangerous play with a high probability of injury, and I can understand why they try to eliminate it. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for kids to keep that in mind. When you see a kid and you're going to try to block them and make a big play and do something good for your team, to think about that. And it's going to be hard for officials to officiate, especially early on. But ultimately, you know, I think it's the right move. You know, there's a lot of coaches that have questioned it or been concerned about it or how it's going to impact things. And, you know, it just takes some time to get adapted to.
You know, and that one I agree with. And I think Wade even kind of, you know, just shook his head a little bit on the pop-up kick rule where the ball's got an outbounce twice. So for an onside kick, you can't hit anybody till the ball hits twice. And I understand at least the thought on that, but you normally can't hit anybody till the ball goes 10 yards anyway unless somebody engages you. And so I think that might be an overreach.
Yeah, you know, it is a rule that is in place in, I think, college and NFL, if I'm not mistaken now, or at least in college. And so they're just, you know, kind of bringing it down that way. Again, it's they look at it from a safety perspective. If the ball's just, you know, 20 yards in the air and everybody just runs into each other full speed, you know, you can see injuries come out of that. But whether it bounces once or twice and then goes up in the air, is it going to change kids running into each other? Probably not.
Probably not. Hey, I had asked Wade, and I'm going to ask you the same question. With the realignment here in this area, do you think that the conferences will be the same 3 years from now?
I think they'll be the same in terms of conference realignment, unless the overall structure for high school football changes from, you know, a traditional conference structure to more of a district model. I think that's the only caveat in there, because I don't think the WIA would want to revisit conference realignment in this part of the state for a while, unless something drastically changes. And again, a district model would change everybody everywhere. So that's the only caveat I would throw in there, is if that comes back around. And of course, as Doug knows, there have been discussions of the district model and its benefits and whether it needs to be reexamined.
Yeah, correct, Travis. There seems to be some softening in stances against the district model originally. I also have seen that, and Wade talked about it today, that maybe just parts of the state can be more successfully used in the district model than others based on travel and distance. And what's your thoughts on that?
I just don't know if it's something that would ever get through on a limited fashion, or even if it would get through on a, you know, there's hybrid plans out there and different things where maybe schools could move up and down a division if it's more, you know, geographically convenient. And I just don't know if you complicate things too much, if it's going to get the requisite support at the WIA Board of Control level. I think the simpler it is, if it's just a straight district plan, you're placed in districts based on your enrollment and geography, I think that's the best chance for something like that to pass, is to just have as simple of a plan as possible, to have the WIA have direction on, you know, what the lower levels are going to do. I think that was a big hang-up for a lot of people the last time at the administrative level, the ADs and the school administrators, where it was just, well, let's pass it and then we'll figure it out. Well, they don't like that uncertainty. They don't like not knowing what's going to happen. So I think there's got to be as much certainty in that as possible. But ultimately, the plan itself, I think, has to be as simple as possible to get support across the state and at the border control level.
Hey, Travis, we only got a couple of minutes left. Do you foresee 8-man as continuing to grow like it has?
It's kind of in kind of a transitional period right now. I mean, there hasn't really been a lot of growth the last year or two. There's another one or two teams going to it this year, I think. And it's kind of, you know, at that point where it's either going to take off and we'll have 40 teams in a couple of years, or, you know, it's just going to kind of stay stagnant there at around 20 to 25 teams. And I think a lot of people would prefer that it increases and it's up there. But I don't know. I don't know where it's going to go for sure. I like the idea. I like the fact that it's allowed a lot of schools to maintain football that probably otherwise would have had to drop or do some kind of a co-op where, you know, there's significant travel concerns and logistics and all that stuff. And I always encourage people, and I haven't been able to myself just because of the other commitments that I have, but to get out and watch an 8-man football game on a Friday night or a Saturday afternoon or whatever it might be played locally, and just, you know, check it out. Because as I tell everybody, it's football.
Yep.
You're down on the sidelines, you don't notice as much that there's three less players on the field. You see hitting, you see blocking, you see execution of similar plays. It looks like football. It is football. You go up in the stands, and yeah, you'll notice there's not another tackle on one side, and there's one less guy in the backfield and whatever, but it's awful. It's an awful good brand of football for those small schools, and it allows them to keep that tradition going.
Yeah, and those towns come out and support it, man. It's I was up in Door County talking to a coach from that area, that coach for 8-man. He said that, you know, the first couple games people were, I don't know. Well, then they see that, you know, it was 51-47, and he said all of a sudden everybody started coming out, and now, you know, nobody even questions it. He said our kids get a chance to play. Kids that normally might not get a chance to play are coming out to play, and it's working really well.
I think the WFCA has done what they can to help 8-man football and promote 8-man football. We've got the All-Star Game now for 8-man. It'll be the third or fourth year that we've had that. So that's helped them grow the sport, and hopefully it'll continue.
Yeah, I agree. Travis, thank you so much for your time.
You bet. We'll see you soon, guys.
You bet. That's Travis Wilson with sports.net. When we get to a break, other side of the break, we're going to talk to Brad Arnett. He is the owner of Next Level, and they are, man, very instrumental in this combine coming up in 2 weeks, and we'll talk to him about that. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save, High School Football Coaches Show. Welcome back to the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association. Mitch, way to look at me, man. Give me that little cross-eyed look. Attaboy. Presented by Raising Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development. Been a long day.
Yeah,
nice. On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Doug Sarver, president-elect of the WFCA. He's also the chairman of the All-Star Game, head football coach at St. Francis. We're talking to Travis Wilson a lot about the combine coming up in 2 weeks. And anytime you talk to any of these guys from the WFCA about the combine, our next guest's name comes up. Because without Next Level, the WFCA guys don't think that it would be run nearly as well. So we were joined by Brad Arnett from Next Level. Brad, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Man, these WFCA boys, they say a lot of great things about you behind your back.
Well, you know, I do tip well, so I'm glad that that's starting to pay off.
That's what Tony McCutcheon said. He said Brad must tip these guys pretty well. Hey, Brad, this combine, and I was there last year, and I have to tell you, you never know when you go to something like this, if it's going to be, you know, if it's organized, disorganized, you get a feeling with that many kids, it's going to be difficult to keep that organized. I was really impressed with you and your group getting that thing off, and you guys just go and do your deal, and these kids just line up and they get after it. But I was really impressed with your group and how that combine was run.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I mean, the coaches come in early, and Last year, we ended up having a lot of coaches there. So a lot of the schools sent multiple coaches, which is great. But they come in early. I myself personally talk to the coaches, just kind of give them a lay of the land. This is what's going on. This is where all the different stations are going to be. This is the flow. Just kind of give them, guys, be here, don't be here, go there. But the matter of, and it's everybody. It's, yes, we do the testing and stuff, but the WFCA and the coaches that come in and volunteer do an awesome job as well, too, of getting the kids from pre-registration right into the warm-up, right into the testing. And just keeping that going. It's a long day, but we're all there for the right reasons. We love doing it. And I've been to enough combines and testing and things throughout the years to know what works and what doesn't work. And I think that we've nailed it pretty good. And it has been very efficient. And I think we've gotten a lot of kids through, a lot of good exposure and great feedback from the coaches, which keeps them coming back as well, too, because like you mentioned, coaches don't want to go to something that's completely disorganized. They're not sure what's going on. What class is this kid? Where is this kid? What's that kid? They have all that information beforehand, and we just get them through. So it's we enjoy doing it, and it's been fun to do.
Hey, Brad, we'll continue to talk about the combine, but before we do that, can we talk a little bit about Next Level? You guys have done such great work with a number of athletes in Southeast Wisconsin, and guys that come from all over the state at times. If somebody asks you almost for an elevator pitch about what Next Level is all about, what do you tell them?
Well, it's a process. And when kids come in, yes, we take into effect what sport they play. The biggest thing we take into effect is their goals. What do they want to accomplish? Not just now, but during the season, the upcoming season. If it's a kid coming into high school, what are your long-term goals? We take a look at each athlete individually. So we look at postural, we look at mobility, we look at core strength, we look at all the things that are going to affect efficiency and movement. And that's the process that starts. But as we go through that process, and I talk to the kids about this as the combine as well, too. It's not only the physical component of it, but we always talk to the kids about things that don't require talent. We're always talking to the kids about what it means to be a better person. All those things come into play when you talk about work ethic and character and being prepared and showing up on time, all things that just required a decision to do. Are the things that these coaches at combines are looking for, when you go to showcases are looking for, when you go to a prospect camp they're looking for, a firm handshake, talking to somebody in the eye, looking them into the eye, and having an adult conversation. Those are the things that we promote as well, just as much as the sets and the reps and the corrective exercises and the things that we do with these kids every day. So we try to make it as holistic as possible and give these kids an experience and give them things that they're going to walk away from, no matter how long they're with us, that they can use for the rest of their life.
We're talking to Brad Arnett. He is the owner of Next Level. Doug?
Brad, I've been out to your new facility within the last year or so. You guys have moved into a new facility. You want to touch base on how that's worked out for you?
Oh, it's been great. You know, we don't live in the Sun Belt, so we've got a lot of organizations during the winter months and stuff that need places to continue practicing, whether it's basketball, volleyball, lacrosse, baseball, softball. So having that additional space to be able to accommodate that has been awesome. The increased size for physical therapy and the rehab services and the different orthopedic groups that work with us has been great to have that as well. And a lot of the groups now that come in and do the practice, I guess you can say practice or sports-specific training, are also coupling that with the performance aspect of us as well, too. So when kids are coming there, they have the ability to practice, they have the ability to train. If something does happen, they can be seen by medical rehab-type people, get a diagnosis, get in and get that underway right away. So they can come to one place, and our goal has always been to try and get somebody as close to 100% as we can. So the increased size, the location right next to the baseball fields in there is really everything that we wanted it to do. Is definitely coming to fruition, and it's been great to watch it unfold and continue to grow.
Talking with Brad Arnett again from Next Level, if you have interest in finding out more about what they do, you can certainly go to their website, or if you want to give them a call at 262-522-7888, you schedule a tour of the facility, and then you can also get an assessment one of their performance coaches. The assessment takes about 30 minutes. It can be done in normal workout clothes. If you've got a youth athlete, 12 years or older, high school athlete, college athlete, or, you know, if you're an adult and you want to get involved with what they're doing at Next Level, I would highly recommend calling the people at Next Level and seeing if you can't either get yourself there or if you have a student athlete. I love the fact, Brad, that you talked about, you know, getting these kids to understand it's more than just what you do on the court or the field. And I've been, you know, up on this mountaintop, Brad, for years telling these kids that I'm coaching in basketball that, you know, these guys come 20 minutes before your game to watch how you interact with your teammates, your coaches. If you're the guy sitting on the bench with your headphones on and you're not interacting with any of your teammates, you get taken out of a game, you yell at the coach and go sit at the end of the bench. That's all that these college guys are looking at.
You're absolutely right. I mean, body language, you can't put enough emphasis on it. And I tell kids this too, is that combines are important. Getting in front of coaches is important. Wherever you're going to go to get exposure, all those things are important. Don't get me wrong, but the things that you're talking about, the body language, the firm handshake, the adult conversations, but they're too soon to forget too that at the end of the day, that coach is still going to call your high school coach. So put as much effort into being the best teammate, the best leader, the best player you can be on your high school team. Because at the end of the day, that's still going to be the deciding factor where you end up at who likes you and who doesn't like you.
He is Brad Arnett. We're going to keep him over for one more segment, Next Level. Again, go on their website. Any of the questions that you have about Next Level, one of the ones that jumped off the page at me is why not just work out at my school? Well, you know what? Next Level says, yeah, that's great, but why not do both? And then they talk about their programs are designed to work in conjunction with school programs. And I think anybody you talk to that's been through the ringer out at Next Level, man, they feel like they're a much better person, much better athlete when they're done. And we'll continue with Brad on the other side of the break. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Well done, Mitch. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Doug Sarver, head football coach at St. Francis, and we're joined by Brad Arnett from Next Level. Hey, Brad, can you talk a little bit about the different stations that these kids will go through in 2 weeks?
Sure. So once they get done with the warm-up, they will have an opportunity to go through these stations. So they'll go through all the things in the field twice, and then they'll finish with upper body testing in the weight room. So they will run 240s. They will run a lateral short shuttle, what they call a short shuttle, so it's 5 yards to your right, 10 yards to your left, and then 5 yards back to the middle. They'll be testing on a vertical jump. They'll be testing on a broad jump. And then they will go in the weight room. And the weights will differ based off of rising sophomore, rising junior, rising senior. So depending on the size of the group, once we get through our warm-up, in theory, we usually get everybody through between 35 minutes to an hour. And it's nonstop action until we're done. And then the day will finish off with quarterbacks, wide receivers, DBs, and linebackers, tight ends, doing some pass carry with some defensive coverage against it.
Brad, I see that the L drill is being replaced or taken out entirely.
It is. And the reason that we're doing that is this combine, which is great, has substantially grown. So you look at 3 years ago, the first year that we did it, we had about 140 kids. Now we're well over 600. This is pushing close to 700 kids through the entire day. And the L drill in particular, it's a great drill. It just takes it does take a lot of time to run kids through it in a inefficient manner. So that is one adjustment that we did make this year.
Hey, Brad, when these kids come in, and they're coming in from all over the state, what I like about this is, yeah, you guys are doing it. You guys are timing it. They'll post the times. Everybody's at the same level. It's indoors. It's on the same turf. It's income. A place like Sussex Hamilton's indoor facility, which is phenomenal. I think the best part of it is now these guys can find out where they measure up exactly with the kids in the other kids throughout the state. It's not like one kid is having, you know, guy over here time his 40 or, you know, tell you how many reps he's getting. You know, that's all your guys. And it's not, you know, there's nobody's dad that's doing this and saying, look, he did this 25 times when he really did it 17 times.
Totally. I mean, we try to keep the validity content to it as high as possible. And with our background and our name and reputation and stuff, I'd like to believe that when college coaches are there and that information is released, it is what it is.
You know, we had talked with Travis about how important it was for some of these college coaches to come in and eyeball these guys. You know, you've been in this business a long time. I think that's a really important part about this, because these guys can watch a highlight tape on some of these guys and not really get what they look like in person. And so for them to come into this, and we'll have 60 or 70 college coaches at this in 2 weeks at Sussex Hamilton, how important in your view is it for these guys to be able to see these athletes in person?
It's huge. Again, they can see their body language. They have a chance to talk to them, how they interact, and they also get to see their level of passion. I mean, even though they don't have the pads on and they're playing a game, it's still about the game, and they want to see everything that these kids are doing. What's their passion level like? And when they're coming into something like this, what's their have they prepared for it? What's their preparation level for this? So it's huge, and it gives them a chance to see them compete against other kids, and it's everything. I mean, it's very, very important for someone to get a feel of, can I interact with this kid? Is he going to fit into the mold of what we have in our program? There's so many things that are very beneficial about them being able to see them in person.
Brad, there's a lot of kids that may have a baseball game or a track meet that day. Even though we have 600 kids, there's probably many that just can't get there. There was some talk about doing maybe a post-combine event at Next Level. Yeah. You want to expand on that?
Yep, you're exactly right. And we are going to solidify that this week with the WFCA, and we're going to offer one additional Saturday that we can do at Next Level. It'll be run exactly the same. All the testing and everything will be the same. All their information will go out the same as everyone else's did, so they're not going to lose out on everything. We will try to get as many coaches, local coaches, that have an opportunity to be there to come in and be participant of that as well. But we will give them an opportunity to do the same testing, get the results out, just as everyone else did. So we're going to get that solidified this week and get that information out as soon as possible.
Hey, Brad, last question. We'll cut you loose. You had talked earlier in the show about some of the things going on at Next Level. I know you've moved into a beautiful new facility. It's not just strength and conditioning coaches. You've got a lot of people on staff, and I saw that on your website, from athletic trainers to strength conditioning, some medical nutritionists, stuff like that. You've got a number of people on staff, and so you take a holistic approach to this, it seems like to me.
Totally. It creates a great synergy between all the different things, all the different entities that are going on there. Someone may come in for rehab, or someone may come in for nutritional counseling, and it just kind of evolves into the other things that are going. So some people may start with one area and end up going to the other areas, and just kind of evolve the way through. Kids that are coming in are current clients, may have friends from a referral standpoint. Hey, they're having an issue with this or that. They stop in and see somebody in the rehab portion of it. They get to the point where they're feeling much better. They want to stay with it. They see that the adults are doing training, or they see different classes that are going on. It's got we offer yoga for sport as well. So there's a lot of different entity things that are going on that people see and want to stay with, and it just kind of rolls into it. So all the different entities create a great synergy amongst each other.
He is Brad Arnett, again, Next Level. If you have interest, give them a call, 262-522-7888. Brad, I look forward to seeing you 2 weeks from today, Sussex Hamilton.
I look forward to it as well. You guys have a great Easter. And everyone that's listening, have a great Easter, and we look forward to seeing all you guys in a couple weeks.
Thank you very much, Brad. Doug, thank you so much, man. It's good to see you.
It was great being here again.
Heading over to see a little Wisconsin Lutheran baseball, huh?
I think that's where I'm going.
Attaboy. Say, get a St. Francis kid playing over there.
Jacob Wiedauer.
And that baseball program at St. Francis is in good hands. Those are two good men right there.
Yes, they are.
And it's awesome. Happy Easter.
Thank you. You too.
You bet, Mitch. Thank you very much. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.